La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
This is Prep Weekly, brought to you by De La Salle High School in New Orleans. De La Salle, the right fit. And here's your hosts, Casey Gisclair and Marlon Big Fave Favorite.
And good evening to everybody on a beautiful Wednesday night in Southeast Louisiana. It's Prep Weekly brought to you by De La Salle High School. Casey Gisclair here in La Rose. Marlon, Big Fave Favorite, and the gang at De La Salle High School over in the city. We've got a jam-packed show coming your way. We look forward to the next 2 hours very, very much. Later in this segment, we're going to talk about all the wonderful things that happened in high school football in Week 5. We're also going to give you a rundown in Hour 1 of some matchups to keep an eye on in Week 6. In addition to that, we're going to talk heavily about our whole school, De La Salle High School, as they got a big win over Riverside. We're going to talk to Trey Hand and Elena and all the crew out there about that big win. In addition to that, we'll have Terrebonne High School coach Gary Hill on the line at 6:45. Coach Hill's team is one of the hottest teams in Class 5A right now. They're 5-0, and they had a 41-0 win over Hanville on Friday night. We'll have Coach Hill on to talk about that. Then in the second hour, we're going to have De La Salle running back coach Chris Jones, De La Salle halfback Montrell Johnson, and then his mother, Marlon, I hope I'm saying this right, Keedie Black. Does that say that right?
Keedie Black. Keedie Black. Recording artist here in New Orleans.
Very good. She will be joining us to talk about that. That'll be very awesome as well. Then at 7:30, we'll talk some Saints, some LSU, and then we'll wrap it all up with our picks. But, guys, we had an interesting Week 5, a lot of interesting scores around the area. We'll start off with the game that we talked about so heavily last week, which was John Curtis and Warren Easton. At the end of the day, John Curtis got their running game going in a big way. They score a 38-20 win over Warren Easton. The beat just keeps on rolling for these guys. Right now, I don't know who's going to stop John Curtis at this point.
Yeah, it's pretty tough to stop John Curtis right now. It's that system working, right? Getting the wheels churning, some key players. Easton definitely has a big game next week against Bell Chase. But, I mean, John Curtis, they brings it to the table. I really do look forward to seeing Curtis play against Jesuit. That Jesuit defense and their running game should be pretty interesting.
NOLA.com said John Curtis quarterback Colin Guggenheim battled a 101 fever on the morning of the game. It didn't slow him down when it was time to play. He carried 14 times for 138 yards. He was a big factor in the game as well. John Curtis led 10-6 at halftime, then pulled away in the second half, outscoring their opponents heavily in the final two quarters of play. So, Big Fave, I'm going to ask you first off, have you ever played sick? And then second, what are your thoughts about Guggenheim going for a 138 with the, you know, flu or whatever it was that he had?
I want to say one time I had a fever. It was in high school, like a little high fever. So I just remember Campbell souping it 24 hours before the game, hydrating. And I was able to play. I think we might have played against East Jefferson. This might have been like my junior year. But I think that's very impressive. You look at greats like Michael Jordan played sick. LeBron James played sick before. It's definitely a challenge. So, I mean, a 138, that's very impressive coming off of an illness.
NOLA.com says in the post-game recap, says this game was billed as a heavyweight fight. But the only person that got knocked out was John Curtis coach JT Curtis, who got inadvertently elbowed in the face. He lost a tooth in the melee. What are they doing to fire those boys up? Coach Curtis gets knocked in the face, and he's got to go to the dentist. Boy, those guys are getting fired up out there.
Oh, they're definitely getting fired up. Anytime the old man loses a tooth, I know that was funny. Trey's laughing because we were actually with Coach Curtis not too long ago. So he's always smiling because he's on television. I can't fathom it, Coach Curtis. I don't want to lose any of my teeth.
That's what I'm saying. Anything that involves me losing a tooth, you know, this ain't the hangover. We ain't trying to get in any of that trouble. We got John Arrett beating Chalmette 34-7. That was a great win for John Arrett. Our boy Mumphrey again had a big day. He led his team to victory. And then another score, Destrehan 49, Thibodeau 10. But how about this one, Country Day 63, Madison 8. Country Day continues to roll. There are a lot of big scores in the area, but we'll talk about this matchup here. Jesuit, they lost the opener of the season to Warren Easton, and everybody kind of wrote those guys off. Now they've won four in a row. They beat Holy Cross 28-7 in that big rivalry game. Look, if you're a student at Jesuit, just winning that game alone makes your season. But now, heck, they're 4-1 heading into a matchup with John Curtis. They've got a chance to really make some waves.
Yeah, you know, it was a big pride felt game with Holy Cross and Jesuit. You know, that game right there separates their season. That game pretty much is their season. A big play to kick off the second half was a 93-yard kickoff return from Luke Best for Jesuit. So, you know, just all those key plays, that winning the turnover battle, that was a good thing for Jesuit.
Marlon, I've been told that Jesuit has a mean defensive line. They had 5 sacks. They limited Holy Cross to, you know, like 30 yards rushing in the game. I'm sure you're awfully happy to see that big defensive front out there standing tall.
Oh, no doubt, man. It's very impressive to see the guys play well inside the trenches. I know that Perry Gansey is a big-time player for them, making a lot of plays. Coach Mark Sandry is definitely impressed over there. And just keeping it going, that's a big-time tradition. I remember last week Trey talked about how important this Jesuit and Holy Cross rivalry is. So I really think, one, that moving forward, especially this Curtis game, I'm interested in seeing how they map out against them. And B, you have a pretty impressive team in Jesuit rebounding.
Brother Martin, 17, St. Augustine, 7. Gentlemen, we've talked about the high-powered St. Augustine offense, but lately it's not been so high-powered. What's going on out there?
Yeah, you know, this game also defense. Defense wins championships. St. Aug had 2 late interceptions going into the game. Their special teams also played a very big factor with giving Brother Martin great field possession. So, you know, a 35-yard punt by St. Augustine midway through the second quarter, giving Brother Martin, with their high-powered offense, very short yardage to go capitalize, starting at the 43. That gave them that 14-0 lead. So just special teams was a very key factor in this.
Down the bayou, we had Terrebonne scoring a 41-0 win over Hanville. We picked this game last week, and we were kind of deciding, you know, hey, Terrebonne maybe hadn't been tested. Hanville's going to maybe try to go ahead and get a win here. Terrebonne got ahead early, got ahead often, and they rolled. That was a surprising result to me.
Yeah, you know, it's like we've been saying the whole year. Hanville has a very difficult situation. Coach Salt just coming back off suspension, and now they're having some more things with Andrew. But, you know, they just have to push through this adversity. Adversity is always going to hit you more ways than none, so they just have to overcome it. Hanville, I know they're on a down spree right now, but they should bounce back next week.
Carver, a team that nearly beat Carr a week ago, then now they rise up again and beat Helen Cox 19-0. Carver's one of those quiet teams. They're not getting much attention, not getting talked about very much, but they're keeping teams out of the end zone in a big way. They're a stingy bunch, guys.
Yes, they are. I had a chance to check them out actually against De La Salle in the springtime. That wasn't the spring. That was early fall, right?
Yeah, early fall.
Y'all took them on. And I thought that they had a lot of athletes on the field. De La Salle was able to capitalize on their offense, the way they have the option. And I think defensively, the players kind of got a little discombobulated. But that Carver defense is definitely rolling right now. Helen Cox is a young team. They do have Terrell Brown, or Smoke Brown, as they call him, one of the top running backs in the state on their team. But, you know, young offensive line. Coach Skip has his hands full over there. And losing 19 to Carver shows that, you know, just not enough offensive production. So, you know, good luck to both of those teams moving forward.
Slidell, 34, Covington, 14, going to the North Shore. I got a text message from one of my buddies. He said, look, we got a ball player out here at Slidell by the name of Harlan Dixon. So I made it a point to follow his stats, and he had more than 150 yards rushing, caught a couple of passes, including a receiving touchdown. Anybody in the North Shore, Harlan Dixon, Slidell, that's an awfully good football player doing great things. They're now 2-0 in District, 3-2 overall.
Well, that's impressive, man. And if you look at, again, beating Covington, the way Harlan Dixon has been, you know, running wild out there for Slidell has been big. You know, they always had good running backs, man. You take it back to the Matt Forte days, back when I was playing a little high school football, and up until now, over in the North Shore, they've always handled their business. So I'm just looking forward again to this team improving as the year progresses, in a really good matchup against a decent Covington team.
It's a big showdown in Baton Rouge, University and Zachary. Zachary was the defending Class 5A state champion. University is one of the better teams in the state. University gets a 49-27 win. Fellas, this is almost not fair. They're just playing on another level right now, aren't they?
They are, man. The amount of top 10, top 25, and top 100 players on that team, ranging from Donald Bernard to Christian Harris, Leland Jones, I mean, Mark Coppola. I know these guys, you know, me and Skylar trained them a lot. Dorian Harris, quiet as it kept, one of the best slot receivers in the league. And then you got J.G. McKernan, along with Mike Hollis over there making it happen. And, hey, Zachary's the returning they're a returning state championship team, a team that really looked good in the Dome last year. But you said it, Casey. U-High is just two stack all across, even in the linebacking core with Constantine. I mean, it's just Brighton Constantine. It's just a whole lot of talent out there in Baton Rouge. Really good game. I had a chance to talk with a couple of the parents and the players. It was tight for a while. It was about 14-14 for a while. But then the running player, Mike Hollis, is huge. So, I mean, that team is impressive. And doing some big things on the national side as well. I want to say they're ranked like 13th. Maybe they were 5th at one point.
Yeah, they were 5th. They're top 20.
That's huge.
They're top 20.
That says a lot about y'all, Trey. I mean, playing against them in a state championship that, you know. Hello.
Yeah, something very special is going on out there. And, you know, I was looking at the recruiting rankings, and they got 5 guys out of the top 20 players in Louisiana, 8 guys in the top 50 players in Louisiana. I mean, I can't remember the last time someone sort of dominated the rankings like that. Just such a vast collection of talent all in one place. It's special to see every Friday night.
Oh, absolutely, man. It is very impressive to see. I had a chance, again, check them out like twice this year. I didn't catch the Zachary game, but, I mean, it's a team that definitely set the precedent in Louisiana about our talent across the state. I mean, you look at – and I still want to see that matchup too, guys. I really want to see Edna Carr play. I mean, Louisiana High School Association, if you're listening right now, tuning in, if you can make it happen, pull some strings, make it maybe a high school bowl game, just being silly. But, man, I would really like to see Edna Carr versus U-High. That would be a good game.
There are a lot of people around Louisiana that would love to see that matchup as well. That would be unbelievable. In North Louisiana, we talked about this last week with David Robinson about how West Monroe was going to take on Neville and how they were expecting 40,000 people in the stands. It's West Monroe who gets a 29-14 win. Just reading some comments and listening to a little bit of talk radio up there after the game. And, boy, they think that they have one of the best West Monroe teams that they've had in a decade. That's saying a lot because every year they're a team that, you know, competes to make it to the Dome. But they beat Neville and get a big win in that big rivalry matchup.
Man, I say it time in and time out how good of a team West Monroe is and how they compete. I was actually talking with a couple of my colleagues earlier about from Shreveport about Calvary Baptist. And, you know, you think about Ruston and you think about West Monroe and how those teams year in and year out are really competitive. So for them to pull off that win and continue to compete and play as well as they do, we had Coach – quick brain freeze, right? Coach Scott, Marcus yeah. Scott on from John Eric. And that was their only loss on the year against West Monroe. And he talked about how he loved going out there and compete and play against a really competitive West Monroe team and how it helped them even in district play and locally here in Louisiana. So it's always good for the Southern teams to put those up north teams on the schedule and compete and see what you guys are really about.
Fellas, we got one more score, and we've been making jokes about Finley over at Ponchatoula and all the points that they score, but we finally figured out a way to stop those guys from scoring 60 or 70 points. You keep the ball away from them. Mandeville had Zon Diaz run for more than 300 yards Friday, and they got a 34-24 win. They ran more than double the plays that Ponchatoula did, and that's the way you beat them. You don't let them get on the field. Mandeville gets a huge win out on the North Shore.
Yeah, T.J. Finley came into the game averaging 358 yards per passing, per game passing-wise, and Mandeville held him to 203 on 17 of 33 passing. So that was very good. Mandeville's quarterback had his first start of the season, and he also – that was a big game for him as well. 421 yards rushing and 115 passing yards from that Mandeville team. That set them guys aside with 306 yards coming from Zane Diaz. So all those stats and all those players stepping up, going against a big Ponchatoula team helped them win.
Diaz said after the win, he said, quote, "We have amazing wide receivers that could block anyone, and the line was setting up the edges to let me do it. Always love to hear those running backs give credit to the guys opening up those holes." And it's great that he pointed out, hey, for a long run, your receivers have to be blocking. That's great to hear from a tailback.
Yeah, it's very great. The O-line leads the way for that running back and the quarterback to do his things. Also, your receivers, when the ball bounces outside, you have that receivers blocking. So that's a very good thing that he gives those guys those props.
Well, week 5 was great. Week 6 is going to be even better. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we get back, we're going to preview some of the top matchups around Louisiana. It's Prep Weekly, brought to you by De La Salle High School.
De La Salle is the Christian Brothers High School on the Avenue, a tradition of excellence since 1949. Experience why De La Salle is the right fit by scheduling a spend-a-day tour for your child online at delasallenola.com. Tours are available daily through November 9th. The De La Salle Open House is on Tuesday, November 6th from 4 till 7 p.m. De La Salle, the right fit.
New Friend Building Materials has been around since 1955 and is growing every year. We continue to be a proud family company in our second generation ownership and working on the third. We do our best to cover all your building needs while providing top-notch customer service and priding ourselves on not letting you leave without a smile. From small birdhouses to hotels and apartment complexes, there's no job too big or too small for us to handle. Our 4 convenient locations to serve you include Cutoff, Thibodeau, Belchase, and Slidell. So come stop by and see how we can help you and have a blessed day.
Napa know-how. Right now, 5-quart jugs of Napa Full Synthetic Motor Oil are only $18.99. It protects your engine and our troops. Yep, with each purchase of Napa Full Synthetic for $18.99, a portion goes to the Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
General States pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer ends 10/31/18.
Rogers Parts, nationally known, locally owned. Lockwood, Morgan City, Libertyville, LaRose, and Galliano.
Duralast batteries are proven tough to perform in temperatures of 140 degrees and 40 below zero. Because when you can start in extreme conditions, you can start in everyday conditions. Like running late for work, a broken alarm, creepy parking spots. Duralast. Proven tough and only at AutoZone.
Visit any of our 5,500 locations nationwide and let us do more for you.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Is pain putting a strain on your quality of life? Don't suffer in silence. Get relief at the Pain Center of Thibodaux Regional. Dr. Luis Hernandez and Dr. Keith Duplantis can provide solutions to neck, knee, and back pain, as well as pain associated with injury, arthritis, nerve damage, and migraines. Get help for your pain at the Pain Center of Thibodaux Regional. Call today, 985-493-4080, or go to Thibodaux.com.
The 2018 Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series is underway, and you can get caught up on all the action and details for all the races Fridays right here on ESPN New Orleans. And it's all sponsored by Rogers Parts, your locally owned Napa Auto Parts stores in LaFourche, Assumption, and St. Mary Parishes. Napa Auto Parts, sponsor of the Chase Elliott No. 9 car in the Cup Series. Get the expert analysis and latest news on Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series throughout the 2018 season every Friday on ESPN New Orleans.
And now back to Casey Gisclair and Marlon Big Fave Favorite with more Prep Weekly brought to you by De La Salle High School in New Orleans.
And in about 15 minutes, we're going to talk about De La Salle's big victory over Riverside, and then we're going to preview some of the matchups that they have ahead. But in this segment, we're going to talk about a lot of big-time matchups over in Week 6 in Louisiana. There are some really good games that are going to be going on in and around the area. We'll start at Yulman Stadium on Friday, which is going to be a heavyweight showdown. We talked in the last segment about both of these teams. John Curtis right now has that power running game zooming. They're getting up and down the field. Jesuit right now has a strong defensive front, so something's got to give here, fellas. Curious to see which style of play wins out here between the Blue Jays and the Patriots.
Well, you look at two really good coaches, and Coach JT Curtis and Coach Mark Sanji over at Jesuit, two defenses that are rolling. So it's really going to come down to the technique and the upfront play and the discipline of Jesuit's defensive line to sustain the run with Curtis. We know one thing, Coach Curtis is looking for his players to hit the open gaps in that and make the right decisions at the quarterback position, whether to keep, toss, or give. So it's just going to take a whole lot of discipline defensively for Jesuit. Now, on the flip side, with John Curtis, you get mid-season, you start rolling high, you have to be very cautious how you approach this because you don't want a team like Jesuit to come in and make a really big upset, but they have the potential too. So I think with the 28-7 victory over Holy Cross last week said a lot about Jesuit and how they're competing.
You know, it's crazy, guys, because I'm hearing you talk and you're saying that Jesuit's trying to pull a big upset, and look, I agree with you, it would be a big upset, but what does it say about how great John Curtis is playing that a 4-1 team beating him would be a huge upset? That just speaks to the greatness that they have.
No doubt.
We look at some of the other matchups in the area. Let's see here. We have Rumble going to be taking on Holy Cross. Holy Cross is going to be trying to get their mojo back, rather, after a tough loss. Rumble, they were once a big powerhouse school in the Catholic League. Right now, they're kind of being forgotten a little bit, though they did get a big win against Shaw, who's kind of rebuilding. Curious to see how, in boxing, whenever you're making your way up the ranks, they always throw you this tough contender and see if you could handle them. This is like that game for Rumble. If they could handle Holy Cross, I'll say, okay, maybe they're at that high level.
Yeah, if they can handle Holy Cross, Rumble will definitely be on the map. I was scrolling through Twitter one day, and I saw a post from this little prediction bowl, and the game was Rumble versus Shaw, and the crystal ball said Shaw was going to win. So a lot of Rumble players like Jalen Sturgis, Donovan Kaufman, Coy Moore, all of them were just screenshotting, getting posting, and be like, hey, let me just leave this right here. The doubt is very real if they think that we're going to lose this game, just how they're doubting this young team. But they're stepping up. Chandler Fields is playing Chandler Fields ball. Yeah. He's doing his thing. And that running game and that defense is just too much. I mean, if they can pick that up going starting district and literally push through the district, we're going to see them in the playoffs definitely making a run.
Trey, don't you love that crystal ball Twitter site, man? I look at that and I'm laughing. Everybody's upset by that, everything that they say. Do you guys pay attention to that over at De La Salle?
Nah, we usually will look at it. Like, when it comes out, we'll look at it and then we'll laugh. Like, I know last year when we played St. Aug, they predicted St. Aug to win. And then after the game, the score was 38-12. And then somebody from somewhere, you know that little Geico State Farm commercial. It was like, hey, you got to be quicker than that or something. Yeah, they took that and they took the little man and put the little fishing rod over the scoreboard.
Ah.
And it was like, hey, St. Aug, thought you were going to be us. Ah, y'all got to be quicker. And then, yeah, we laughed at that, but this year was a total different thing. But, yeah, we look at that, we laugh at it, and then it's just like a comedy show to us.
I hear you, brother. One game that I'm really excited to talk about is Warren Easton against Bell Chase. I know some coaches at Bell Chase. They're really hungry for this matchup. They're 5-0. Gentlemen, they've only allowed 22 points in 5 games. The way that they play, big, heavy power running game, they want the opponent's offense to never have the ball. If Warren Easton's front 4 or front 7 are not able to handle that running game, it may be a challenge out there, though the game is going to be out in the city.
Yeah, I think it'll be a really a good matchup. Bell Chase does have a competitive defense led by Ashton Riley, actually cousin of Duke Riley. And then you have on the other end Warren Easton and their quarterback play. So you're looking at a game similar to the Jesuit and Holy Cross. I meant to say Curtis game. Discipline, playing gap sound, being able to spot out the right formation and distinguish what the team's going to run. Pre-snap reads are going to be big, and I think it'll be a really good matchup this weekend.
No doubt about it. We talked.
Yeah, also,
I'm sorry. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, just what Marlon said. Defense is definitely going to be a key to this game. Watching film would definitely have to come in. Knowing your reads, knowing your coverages, knowing what they're going to do is definitely going to be a factor for both teams.
And over in the city, again, we have McDonough 35 taking on Edna Carr. Edna Carr is a big powerhouse. We talk about them each and every week. McDonough 35 quietly 3-2 with wins over East St. John and then Karen Crow last week. Gentlemen, can they challenge Edna Carr? Can they make this a close game in the fourth quarter?
McDonough 35, I believe they can make this a close game, but these two teams have a rivalry against each other. They know each other personally, and I feel like if both teams can, if McDonough 35 can handle their pre-snap and post-snap penalties, they can't have penalties this game because that's going to be a key factor for them. But if they can limit those things to a minimum, then I can see it'll be at least a 24-27 game at the end of the fourth quarter going into the triple zeros.
And I'll interject on the play of Carr this year and how they're able to dominate in all three phases, but particularly offense and defense. A guy that we worked with this offseason, Austin Kent, defensive lineman for Carr, leader on that defensive line. We had Coach on a few weeks ago, and Coach Bryson, he spoke highly about him. And then it's just the player, Lenard Kelly, man, at that quarterback position, knowing when to throw. I think the play calling with him has been superb. So it'll be a pretty interesting matchup this weekend.
There are a lot of districts that are playing their games on Thursday night this week with fall break next week in a lot of parishes. So in District 6-5A, the entire schedule is going to be on Thursday. We got Fountain Blue and Hammond, North Shore against Mandeville, Slidell against Ponchatoula. Then a big matchup between St. Paul's and Covington. Covington's always strong. I saw them last year in the third round of the playoffs against Hanville. They played well, but ended up getting pooked at the end of the day. But now they got to take on St. Paul's. That's going to be a good matchup between two teams that could really score the ball.
Can score is definitely the thing. St. Paul's, I remember they played North Shore a few weeks ago, 45-15. Just a team that, again, man, that knows what they have to do. Over the past few years, you've been hearing a lot about them and how well they execute. And then on the other side, you have Covington. They lost badly last week. And wanting to recover and rebound from last week, I always say, you have to watch the wounded dog in the room.
Yeah.
And Covington could, you know, catch some inspiration and give St. Paul's a run for their money. A North Shore matchup that definitely if you're in the North Shore area and want to check out a good Friday night football game, or if you say they play Thursday, I think this one will be one for the books.
Fellas, Country Day and Newman, these are two really good smaller school teams out in the city, District 9, 2A. Talk about a game that might have a lot of offense. Usually this is a game that's played in the 40s or the 50s. That game will be at Eddie Terrell North Park, presented by Eddie Terrell North Park at NOLA.com. It's going to be at Newman's campus. That'll be a really, really good game between two teams that are being overlooked but could both play at a high level.
Yeah, down the street from De La Salle, Newman is down the street. It's going to be a big uptown thing. Newman is definitely going to bring their crowd. They're 5-0. They're playing very good ball right now. Country Day is also playing very good ball, beating such teams as St. Charles Catholic, who's a very dominant team with Coach Monica, and their down-and-kick scheme offense. Their defense is playing very good. Their offense, led by Justin Iabetta, is also playing very good. I haven't been able to check out this Newman team, but what I've been hearing is that they're able to throw the ball. Their D-line is superior. Their DBs are actually very good from the previous years. So I feel like it's going to be a tough matchup for both, and it's going to be a close game coming to the end.
Hanville's going to leave district play. They're going to take on a Pearl River team that in years past would have been, kind of an easy game. Pearl River is 5-0. I don't know anything about these guys. I don't know what the heck's going on out there. But Hanville scheduled this game thinking it'd be sort of a quote-unquote bye week. Now they got to face a 5-0 team.
Yeah, Pearl River, last week they played, I believe, against Haynes. And we played Haynes this week, so I was watching some film. And I saw how Pearl River's defensive line, their ball get-offs are amazing. I've never seen, from a defensive line perspective, I've never seen a ball get-off against somebody that superb. I haven't heard a lot about them. So, I don't know. Hanville, scheduling this game, I feel like since they're on this downspeed right now, I feel like if they can go into, I believe they play Friday, right?
Yes, sir. It's
Friday. They're a Friday game.
Yeah, if they can go into that game superb, knowing all their keys to victory are very going to be clutch for them. And if they can go in there and get a win, I feel like Hanville is going to turn their season around.
And we've got a big matchup going on with De La Salle next week, or this, in a couple of days, actually. And we're going to talk about that in the next segment. You're listening to Prep Weekly, brought to you by De La Salle High School. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break on ESPN New Orleans.
What's the Call? Associated Pump and Supply with 30 years plus of dewatering experience. Our staff will size up your job and solve your drainage issues in no time. From large-scale municipal dewatering projects to smaller residential jobs. Call Associated Pump and Supply, 985-851-7077, or visit AssociatedPump.com. Associated Pump and Supply, a proud sponsor of the Nicholls State Colonels.
It's football season, and Pride Financial wants to help you score big. Everyone can use a little extra cash to get supplies, sport uniforms, even a flat-screen TV to watch the games. Pride Financial, located on Bayou Gardens Boulevard in Homan, Pelche Park in Thibodeau, where you can get loans of $300 and up. Need cash today? Forget the high fees of payday loans. Stop by Pride Financial today with more convenient options. Join the winning team at Pride Financial at Bayou Gardens Boulevard in Homan, Pelche Plaza in Thibodeau, or visit them online at pridefinancial.net.
Lady of the Sea After Hours Clinic has moved to the new Lady of the Sea Cutoff Clinic, located directly in front of the hospital off of Highway 1 in Galliano. The same After Hours staff will continue to see patients from 5 to 9 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on weekends with no appointment necessary. Now the convenience of a walk-in clinic with a pharmacy at the same location is available for our community. Same provider in a new environment. Lady of the Sea After Hours Clinic, here when you need us.
When a player doesn't like a contract, what do?
They hold out?
They hold out for a better deal. If only you could do that with your wireless plan, right?
Well, with the Keep Your Own Phone plan from Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a much better deal. Keep your phone, your number, even your same network for a lot less than you're paying now.
Without the contract.
Or the holdout.
Get the Ultimate Unlimited plan for just $55 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Video typically streams at DVD quality at 60 gigabytes. We reserve the right to review your account for usage in violation of Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
We parents hear our kids say lots of things that can get us pretty worked up. Things like,
"Look, Ma, no hands."
And,
"Ouch, that hurts."
Look, you'll never completely stop worrying about your kids. But you can breathe a little easier with free or low-cost health insurance through Medicaid and CHIP programs in your state. The truth is, they're covering more kids and teens than ever before. So even if you've applied in the past, even if you don't qualify, your kids can now be eligible for regular doctor and dentist visits, prescriptions, and more. So the next time you hear,
"Ooh, I don't feel so good,"
relax. Your kids can be covered.
Get us kids covered today. Families of four earning up to $49,200 a year or more may qualify. Just go to insurekidsnow.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. That's 1-877-543-7669. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
It's Prep Weekly, brought to you by De La Salle High School in New Orleans, every Wednesday here on ESPN New Orleans. Now, here's your hosts, Casey Gisclair and Marlon Big Fave Favorite.
In 15 minutes, we're going to have one of the hottest coaches in Louisiana right now, Gary Hill, on the line to talk about the Tigers and their 5-0 start to the season. It's Prep Weekly, brought to you by De La Salle High School. Casey Gisclair here with Marlon Favorite, Trey Hand, and all the wonderful folks that are out at De La Salle. And I got to tell you, since we started doing this show, I made some friends at De La Salle, and I'm rooting for those guys every Friday to do great things. So Friday, I'm following the scores between De La Salle and Riverside, and I see a tweet that says, Kendall Collins is out of the game injured. So I'm thinking to myself immediately, oh boy, you know, Collins is a good football player. You know, this might not be a great situation. And lo and behold, 517 yards of total offense later, every one of those yards coming on the ground. De La Salle has a huge offensive showing against Riverside, gets a 45-28 win over their rivals. So I'm going to ask you right out the gate, Trey Hand. Man, you guys must have been winning at the line of scrimmage big time to rush for more than 500 yards. And then Montrell Johnson just comes up huge, getting 300-plus yards rushing, breaking the school record. Sounds like it was a great night to be a Cavalier on Friday.
Yeah, it definitely was. It was homecoming. We brought out a new uniform. We started wearing black on black. They had a little maroon trim in it. So the swagger was definitely up for that game. The O-line, led by Bryce Fricke, John Martin, Noah Devlin. They led the way for a young back, Montrell Johnson, and also Deontay LeBranch, We saw that Kendall Collins had went down with a little ankle injury. But, you know, Montrell Johnson, he's been watching Kendall. He looks at Kendall as a big brother, and he just followed behind his footsteps.
You know, we called the De La Salle South Lafourche game on ESPN New Orleans, or the first game of the season on that Thursday night, and Collins looked great in that game. But I remember a couple of times saying, hey, this Montrell Johnson guy's athletic. He's quick. He's making plays. You guys knew he had this in him, didn't you?
Oh yeah, we definitely did. Coach Chris Jones, he's a very good running back coach. They do a lot of things during practice, and seeing Montrell Johnson after the play when he gets tagged off in a running down the field, so he can get used to those long plays, is definitely a good thing.
Well, Trey, my question for you guys, man, y'all dealt with a little adversity here in the last few weeks. Had a loss to Carr, loss to St. Aug. What was it in the locker room that y'all were talking about to get y'all fired up to perform so well against Riverside? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Like I said last week, we have to turn our
Hey, you guys, you still with us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't
so
know.
So like I said last
Yeah, we're here.
Okay, sorry about that, fellas. We lost connection with you guys. But yeah, go ahead, Trey.
Yeah, like I said last week, we had to turn our season around. So last week, we played one song, and we were getting tired of hearing that same song. So we know going to this week, it was a must win. We came out, played to perfection, executed on all three phases. So that was the way the locker room was just going. We had to turn our season around, make a change going into district. Just for all of our teammates, all the coaches, going that district run.
Elena, you got to be keeping those guys in great shape because you guys are running up and down the field throughout the game. Anytime you have a running back that gets 24 carries, 343 yards, hydration is key. What were you guys doing to make sure Montrell was good throughout the game?
Montrell, he's one of those players who ask him, do you want some water? And he'll walk right past you. Like, we know you're thirsty. And so a lot of us will walk right behind them and be like, hey, didn't I just ask you want some water? And we'll legit, like, make them drink the water. And I feel like even if a player tells you, no, I don't need no water, they don't know how their body's treating them. So I'm like, you have to listen to your heart. You know you want some water. Get you some water. So like Montrell, we keep him hydrated. Make sure he's up on his Pedialyte because your water is your main supply in your blood. And that's good. You need your blood flowing through your body. So we got to keep him hydrated.
Little tip to go along with Elena saying, hey, just because you don't feel thirsty, guys, don't mean you shouldn't drink. So drink water. You want to make sure you're nice and hydrated for those games. I know y'all hear a lot of that. Elena, my next question is for you. I was talking to Trey about the different adversity that they faced. Obviously, you're coming off a big year last year, going to the state championship and having two critical losses early on in the season. What difference, as you watch your peers and you work with them, making sure that their nutrition is right. What difference have you seen in their attitudes in the last few weeks to get them going like this?
You see that they carry themselves differently on the daily now. It's like they have that mindset, okay, I've been playing around. I need to get out there and work harder. Because you see, you believe that you're working hard, but then you see your results and you're like, yeah, I need to push myself more. I need to actually get out there more. And I see that they carry themselves harder. They carry themselves more now around school, and it really affects how they play on the field.
Elena, how's Kendall doing? It sounds like he had an ankle injury. Will he be good to go in the next couple of weeks? I guess give us a rundown of how he's looking.
Well, I spoke to Kendall today actually in the hallway, and I'm like, dude, if I see you with this boot on one more time, we're going to have a problem. Because Kendall, he likes to push things off. You know, like some players might say, oh, I'm feeling fine, and you see him walking on a little limb, and they kind of sway into the side a little bit. Like, no, you're not fine. But he does come in the training room a lot and make sure he's getting checked up. He might like get like a little band flex to stretch that ankle out a little bit. So I believe he's making progress for himself so he can get out there and help his team.
Trey, my next question is for you. We were talking last segment, and you mentioned how important film study is when we're talking about the Jesuit game versus Curtis. I know, obviously, coaching here for 2 years, I know the amount of time goes in the film with the coaches and individual position coaches. How much time do you average and your peers, and I don't know if you guys have this conversation, I know we did, on your own film study, how much time do you take at home, or, you know, when you get a little break here and there, and how important is that to you?
Well, film is definitely important to me and also to my teammates. Me, on average, every night before I go to sleep, I watch the previous practice film, and I also watch the game film for our opponent. But film is definitely a key part. I know Riverside was definitely a key part, knowing what they're going to do. They have a young quarterback out there that can scramble. And also Cash Foley, we had to know where he was at every single time on the field. So film definitely is a key factor with our team.
Trey, this was a 24-21 game in the early stages of the third quarter, but what changed after that? Because I'm seeing Johnson 75-yard touchdown, Johnson 32-yard touchdown, Johnson 38-yard touchdown, all in a stretch of about 6 minutes. Obviously, there was something you guys were seeing formation-wise that were allowing you guys to get those long runs.
Yeah, it was definitely a shootout, 24-21. It was definitely a shootout. Coach John Creech, who's our defensive line coach and also our weight room coordinator, and he was just on the sideline trying to get the O-line signal. He was like, guys, pound them, they're hurting. Because a lot of Riverside players play both sides of the ball. So we were like, guys, pound them, keep running it. So Montrell Johnson, he was getting those carries, and after that, all we see is,
Hey, man, we thought we were going to keep going. What's going on? Trey, y'all have Haynes this weekend. What are some things that Haynes do that you guys really have to keep your eye on in film study and as y'all prep this week?
Well, number 85, their tight end, he's a very good versatile player. They have two offensive guards that I believe can play on any team in the metro area. But, you know, we're taking this game as a district game. It's district. So we're taking this as this type St. James, St. Charles Catholic type game. All of this is leading up towards them. Lusher is going to be the same way. We're taking that as a St. Charles Catholic game. We're taking this game as the St. James game. So, you know, it's district now. It's no time to lollygag. It's time to step it up seriously and start making a run.
How are you feeling, brother? You getting better? I know you said you were nicked up. Are you getting closer to taking the field?
Actually, this week, Friday, will be my first regular season game. I got cleared Monday.
Okay.
My
so
man.
I'll be back in action.
That's awesome. We wish Trey 100% the best of fortune. Stay healthy. Have a great game this coming week as De La Salle looks to continue on their journey against Haynes Academy. When we get back, you're listening to Prep Weekly brought to you by De La Salle High School. We'll have Terrebonne High School football coach Gary Hill on the line. He'll talk about his team and their 5-0 start to the season. Keep it right here on ESPN New Orleans.
De La Salle is the Christian Brothers High School on the Avenue, a tradition of excellence since 1949. Experience why De La Salle is the right fit by scheduling a spend-a-day tour for your child online at delasallenola.com. Tours are available daily through November 9th. The De La Salle Open House is on Tuesday, November 6th from 4 till 7 p.m. De La Salle, the right fit.
Sink your teeth into one of the Dugout and Thibodeau's famous mouth-watering Grand Slam burgers or their famous homemade roast beef po' boys. The Dugout also has frappes, smoothies, and a variety of specialty sundaes and offers over 85 snowball flavors to choose from. Any one can be made sugar-free. Follow them on Facebook. First 10 customers to come in and mention you heard this commercial on ESPN Radio will win a free Dugout t-shirt. Visit the Dugout of Thibodeau, located on St. Mary Street in Thibodeau.
Looking for hardwood floors? Then don't pay retail. Shop where the dealers buy at New Orleans Flooring Distributors, Louisiana's exclusive AquaWood dealer. The only hardwood floors that are 100% waterproof. That's right, completely waterproof. And only at New Orleans Flooring Distributors. The best selection and prices on everything from hardwood to vinyl to carpet. For a great flooring experience, call 504-249-6394. That's 504-249-6394. Or visit them on LNA Road, off Airline and Metairie, or online at NOLAFlooring.com.
Duralast batteries are proven tough to perform in temperatures of 140 degrees and 40 below zero. Because when you can start in extreme conditions, you can start in everyday conditions. Like running late for work, a broken alarm, creepy parking spots, Duralast, proven tough and only at AutoZone. Visit any of our 5,500 locations nationwide and let us do more for you.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Chloe, put your helmet on.
Okay, Dad.
You work hard to protect your family, but some risks are easy to miss. Mosquito bites can spread germs that cause West Nile virus or Zika virus. Cockroaches leave behind bacteria as well as allergens that can trigger asthma attacks. Stinging insects send more than 500,000 people to the emergency room every year. Common pests can threaten our health. Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association and the CDC.
It's Golic and Wingo.
Jason fits in for Trey. Cassius Marsh said he hated being with the Pats
there. He said they don't have fun there. That made me, for the first time in my life, think about not playing football.
How do you balance that with the fact that winning is supposed to be fun? Like, you get a rush
Who
out of a
win. Who says winning is supposed
yeah,
to be
no,
fun?
Sorry,
you know when winning is fun is when, if you'd have won the national championship game, when the Super Bowl is over and it's all zeros and you won. That's when it's fun.
Golic and Wingo, weekday mornings at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
And now back to Casey Gisclair and Marlon Big Fave Favorite with more Prep Weekly brought to you by De La Salle High School in New Orleans.
It's Prep Weekly brought to you by De La Salle High School. Casey Gisclair here in La Rose. Marlon Big Fave Favorite, Trey Hand and Lena and the rest of the gang over at De La Salle. We're having a great time here through 45 minutes, but we've got an hour and 15 to go, and we will lead off this next segment with Terrebonne High School football coach Gary Hill. Coach Hill, how you doing, my friend?
Doing great. How about yourself there?
Doing fine, buddy. Sounds like you're nursing a cold or something, man. You ain't been screaming too much. You won 41-0 against Hondville.
Yeah, got a little bit of a cold, but, you know, some people told me today that's my Coach O impression. But hopefully I'll get healthy here pretty soon.
Yes, sir. Brother, it was a great night for your football team taking on Hondville, a game that was supposed to be at home, ended up being at Thibodeau High School because of the rain and, you know, the lack of a good surface out there. But your team responded well, having a great offensive night, a tremendous defensive night. I'm sure you were really proud of the way your team performed.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't ask any more out of our defense. And our special teams play was pretty solid. You know, we missed two PATs. One was blocked. But besides that, you know, we really played real well. And then offense got going. And, you know, I look at our special teams, and as well as we're playing on that, you know, we've been outside for 9 days since August 6th with the weather we've had and been trapped in the gym. So our special teams have not been able to really get a whole lot of work. So I'm really proud of the way they've been sticking and holding together.
Coach, you make a good point. You talk about special teams, and we see it week in and week out in the NFL, how important it is. What are some keys that you give your guys on special team, whether it's your gunner or your kicker, to kind of keep them motivated, because it's the element of the game that's always left out? What are some things that you get your guys rallied up to keep them consistent?
Well, you know, just, you know, your normal mantras, Marlon. You know, basically, special teams have to be special. You know, it's a third part of the game, and we need to win that battle. And, you know, trying to eliminate yards given and take as many yards as we can gain, that's, you know, one of our goals. Another one is finish every kick. And the other one is try and block a kick or try and make a big play happen, try and get a momentum changer during special teams. It just gives our bench something fired up to play about, whether it be a big hit or a big return, and just go out and capitalize on being able to make plays in that area of the game.
Coach, Ja'Kai and Keyshawn get a ton of attention, and rightfully so, but I want to talk about a young man who's also doing great things in your offense, Chaz Ward, a tailback, getting the hard yards in between the tackles. He's put the ball in the end zone. He's kind of getting overlooked a little bit, but, boy, he's in one hell of a player.
Oh, yeah, you know, and like I said the other night, most importantly, they're all great kids. And, you know, not being selfish is what's making them go. You know, they just realize every time they do get a chance to touch the ball, they need to do something with it. It's very positive for the team. And not to try to make too much happen, but get what the defense has given us and go out and make plays. And, you know, a lot of the attention on the other two is, you know, led to Chaz getting a few more touches, but, you know, he's doing what he needs to do with them, too. You know, he's getting over 100 yards a game. He's starting to put the ball in the end zone, like you said, on repetitive basis. And, you know, it just makes us that much better of a football team and gives us one more threat to look at. But, you know, as far as kids go, he's one of the best we've got. And, you know, he's always positive, always a practice, hard worker. And, you know, it's just great to see kids like that get the reward of the game.
Coach, it's been a while since I had a chance to talk with you. I know me and Skylar came out there and gave you guys a visit one time, and we really enjoyed. But y'all rolling down there, man, in the South Lafourche area. Obviously, Nichols State is balling out. How big of a role does Nichols State and that energy that comes from y'all college team trickle down to your players? You know, I know for as a kid growing up in this area, seeing Tulane ball out and obviously LSU for all of us, but, you know, Nichols State has really been rolling, man. So, again, man, how much of an effect does that have?
Well, you know, I think any school that a kid watches and gets to see those kids, you know, ball out or play really good football kind of motivates them regardless of who they watch. But, you know, I just got to give props to Coach Rebo and his staff for, one, turning that program around and getting it the notoriety that it's getting. But they also doing a great job recruiting the area. So when they get out and they're seeing in the schools and they're talking to our kids and they're promoting their school, but also it's promoting our kids. And, you know, they just do a great job of getting out and recruiting these guys and getting them to understand what football is really about at that next level and the opportunity that it provides for their education and the chance to change their life. And when they're out there doing that, that just makes our job easier for these kids to realize that there are opportunities from playing football. And they do need to go out and make grades and get an ACT score and behave in the classroom and show good character and make great decisions on and off the field. So the job they've done has actually made our job a lot easier as a coach on and off the field.
Coach, I'm going to ask you the question that you've probably been asked 1,000 times and you're probably tired of getting asked, but you guys had a big brother help you out in Thibodaux High School sharing their stadium with you guys. What do we got to do to, you know, get this solution fixed? Because, I mean, we can't keep asking teams to borrow their stadium because your grass is tore up. We've got to find a way to get your field fixed permanently and that where this won't be an issue anymore.
Oh, I definitely agree with that statement. You know, I mean, you got a few schools in the area that have done it, and now most of them have done it. And we're sitting here behind the eight ball, and like you said, Lafourche was generous enough to give us hospitality, and I thank them tremendously for that. And I also thank our school board for making the decision to allow that to happen, not just for player safety, but, you know, these kids commit year-round to playing football and doing the right thing, and they do what they're asked to do in the school and make grades and behave and become the leaders of the school. And the emotions of the school kind of ride with each team season. You know, so to have a home game have to be played somewhere else is a little bit of a hit to those kids. But it's also thank you for the opportunity for them to give their best effort and have the best ability to perform, too, and not have to go out and slop through the mud. So something does have to be done. And I know there's a lot of people out there saying, well, we should have our own stadiums. But this is South Louisiana, and everybody's got feeder schools, and everybody's got bands, and everybody's got ninth grade programs and JV programs. And you're going to be playing a lot of events on these fields regardless. And then soccer season comes, so they're playing these events on those fields regardless. And it's just a way to get more kids involved if you turf these two fields and give the kids the opportunity they deserve to play. And, you know, I think Lafourche kind of led the wave of – we had our own school, and they each had their own field, and it was still getting torn up. We were still having issues, so let's go ahead and turf them and give our kids the best opportunity. And, you know, a lot of people want their own stadium in this parish, and rightfully so for pride, but it's not going to solve a situation with the grass or the field. The price of keeping a grass field maintained in this day and age is so astronomically higher than it was in the past that it's just impossible to keep that up and keep that going for each of these schools. So I think the best decision would be to turf them and get that going. Because if you build four stadiums in this parish, you're not just taking care of fields. You're taking care of bathrooms, lights, press boxes, stadiums, trying to keep everything up to code. And the cost of that gets a lot higher than the cost that it would be to turf these two fields.
Coach, I don't know if my math is wrong, or of course I know there's power rankings and everything, but I'm looking at the Class 5A, and I see John Curtis, West Monroe, East Ascension, and Acadiana 5-0, and then I also see a team way at the bottom, Terrebonne, they're 5-0, but I'm looking at Live Oak, Eric, Zachary, Destrain. You get my point. I see a couple of teams that have lost some games that are in front of y'all, and y'all undefeated. For your players, do they pay attention to where they're ranked, or do you guys pay attention to it from the aspect of let's use it for motivation to get better?
I don't think we really look at it too much either way, Marlon. I mean, our philosophy is, you know, if everybody thought we were going to be good, prove it. If everybody thought we were going to be overhyped and not be as good as we've been playing, let's prove them wrong. And, you know, sports writers can write whatever they want, and I'm glad they cover high school athletics, and I'm glad they do a great job of it. But those polls mean absolutely nothing to the balls kicked. So we just try to tell our kids, don't pay attention to that. Don't worry about that. Let's go play football. When the game's over, we'll see where we stand. Because what's on paper doesn't mean anything until we start playing football.
Coach, I'm seeing that this was your first win against Hanville since 1998, your second win against Hanville since 1983. For the kids, I'm sure every game's, you know, independent of one another to the kids. But, you know, for a program and a coaching staff to beat these guys so soundly, I'm sure it had to feel pretty good at the end of the day.
Oh, yeah, it was a great feeling for us. Our kids took tremendous pride in it, you know. And, like, you know, the cool thing with them was right after the game, hey, guys, let's enjoy it, but we got Monday and we got Thibodeau next. You know, so there is a little bit of focus going into that next week. But then as coaches, you know, you got to go in that next week and really make sure that they maintain focus and try and get some of the hype and things off of them. You know, the program's in a situation right now that our Bayou area hadn't been in too much before. And, you know, like I said to the kids, when that game ended, I did two or three TV camera interviews. I did some internet interviews. I did like five newspapers. Y'all did the same. We can't let that distract us from what our goals were before we started the season. And we didn't care if anybody was giving us any press or any TV time. So we got to take that same mindset and keep working ahead week to week. And hopefully our kids are buying into that and we'll be able to do it. You know, and it's tough to ask a teenager to do that. But, you know, that's what we're asking of them. And until we start playing the next few games, we won't know if it's setting in, but hopefully it is.
Coach, as a retired player now, I can't help but ask this question because I love prepping for the game. And, every Friday, man, y'all give me the chills, man. I feel like getting back out there, putting on a helmet or something, you know, but then I come back to reality and say, Marlon, you're in your 30s. Slow down. What are some keys to victory, man? That's what I was getting to, Coach, against Thibodeau. What are some keys to victory for you guys to be victorious on Friday?
One is we got to go out and play our game. We can't try and do too much like, you know, sometimes would happen in the situation we're in, and we can't go in big-headed and let them be ready to really play us and get an advantage over us mentally. So we got to maintain focus, and we got to execute the way we've executed so far this year. You know, if we get up, we can't slack off. We got to maintain that ability to keep playing through everything and realize there's 48 minutes on that clock, but then everything else is cliched, you know. We got to be more physical than them and win the battle up front. We got to protect the football and win the turnover battle. And then you got to win at least two out of the three phases usually in high school football, whether it's offense, defense, or special teams. But, you know, we want to win all three. And, you know, those are the same things that I know Coach Dugas is telling his Tigers. Those are the things that we're telling our Tigers. And, you know, hopefully we'll have a great ball game on Friday night and just keep this thing going.
Coach, thanks so much for the time. I know you got to go do a TV interview at 7:15, so we'll let you go. Good luck to your team this coming week, my man.
Thank y'all, and appreciate everything y'all do for high school football. Y'all keep up the good work.
Absolutely. That's Gary thanks, Hill Coach. With Terrebonne High School. They're rolling. They're doing great things. They're 5-0. Let's take our top of the hour commercial break. When we get back, we're going to have Montrell Johnson and Keedy Black. Right out of this break, you're listening to Prep Weekly, brought to you by De La Salle High School.
Drop-In Fix is Bayou Country's premier technology one-stop shop. From iPhones and Galaxies to iPads and tablets.